Bhurini Bhuri Karmani Shotavyani Vibhadasaha Atasadotra Yat Sharam Samudritya Manishaya Bhuri Badraya Bhutanam Yenatma Supra Siddhati. Okay, this is the robot here. And again, there are many varieties of scriptures, and all of them, in all of them, there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instructions their hearts may be satisfied. So we're continuing with this contemplation of the first canto, first chapter, which of course is very fundamental because these are all the questions. And pretty much, you know, from this point on, the whole Bhagavatam will be based upon this chapter. Somebody made the point one time that you may have a building, maybe like a 20-story building, and the foundation in terms of maybe a percentage of the height is not that much, and you may not even see it. It's not exposed like the building with all the windows and everything else. But the foundation is the foundation. Without that, the building doesn't have its character, strength, and anything else. So the foundation of the whole Bhagavatam, pretty much, you can look at it, it seems to us, is these questions for the sages. And before they ask the questions, they're giving some perspective, you know, on the thing. What's the most important perspective? The most important perspective is who's asking, who's going to answer. Like that. Forget the content. Like that. You know, the first thing you want to identify is what are the qualities of the person, people who are talking, and they kind of identify themselves here. They'll point out that they're doing the fire sacrifice for the benefit of all living beings, and also themselves, too. But it's not working. You know, it's, you know, the only result is their bodies are turning black from the smoke. You know? So then, they approach, but they're sincere. And also they've been following principles themselves. So they give a proper seat. This is important because we have to have proper ashram, proper seat, proper circumstances. Even if it's very simple, just to spread a cloth on the ground under a tree, that's very important. Or else to be walking together. But an important aspect of the whole thing is giving a proper seat, proper position. And then they glorify Sudha Goswami, they illuminate him. He's blessed with many years. what else? He was submissive to his teachers. Therefore, they bestowed upon him the blessings that are due to a gentle disciple. He learned all the different scriptures. He's not expert necessarily in chanting the specific technical mantras, you know, for different kinds of results from sacrifices. Even to this day, people are trained in chanting these mantras precisely. He doesn't know that necessarily, but he's a Puranic scholar, and he did his study under proper guidance. He's pure in character. His Prabhupada identifies very nicely with the four principles and those kind of things. So, given all these things, then they begin to ask their questions. And what they ask is, please tell us, what is the good, ultimate good? And it's two verses ago, verse number 9. What is the ultimate good for all people? And the word for all people is pumsum. Okay? And the next verse, which was yesterday, you start to describe the pumsum. Okay, they're lazy. They're quarrelsome. They're looking to pick a fight. They're unfortunate. They're short-lived, and they're misdirected. So, practically speaking, you heard yesterday, Gary Govanant, very nice class. That practically speaking, in so many ways, people are disqualified. Like he says, even if they come to the table, they haven't got much to put on it. Even if they decide that they're interested in something beyond the body, usually never get beyond the level of get a next birth, a good next birth. You can go to Pitri Loka and be with all the ancestors, you know, the dog, the cat, or else you know, more sophisticated ideas like you find in what's the word, like superphysical cosmologies, like in China or India or some African communities. Of course, these used to exist in the West too, in the Christian culture. There's so much description of different angels in different places like that, in the Kabbalah. Yeah. So, this is the situation he's describing. Give us the Bhadram. Give us something auspicious for the Pumsum, for all these people. And we have all these difficult qualities like that. Yeah. And the first question is, he goes right, they go, Shonaka Adi, headed by Shonaka. The first thing they do is go right to the scriptures. And what is the good quality of scriptures? So they give us karma, Kshatriya karma, Vaishya karma, Stri karma. Yeah. But this can only be learned after many years of study in various divisions, Dibhagashaha. So one thing that comes to our mind right away, of course, is that you can be an architect in this culture, Vasati, but it said that the Stapati, he has to have good character, he has to have knowledge of the scriptures, he has to have practical experience in applying these things like that, and he has to be very intuitive. And then he can start to learn Vastu. Of course, it's Vastu Veda. The whole purpose of the thing is the same thing, is to, if you want to, you can take it. You can study Maya Dhanava Prakash, and you can get all kinds of knowledge about how to build hotels, Hyatt Regency, and Marriott Inn, and enjoy good eating, good sleeping, good mental gratification. Or you can follow Vishvakarma, Samhita, and that will lead you to applying all these principles and everything else, which way the sun is supposed to be. Well, are we supposed to be facing the sun when it comes up, or how should we be situated in terms of being on the hill, or have it behind us or in front of us? Which part of the house is good for grounding the house? Which part of the house is good for making a space underneath, putting our subterranean riches? And of course, all this influences the consciousness, influences the mind, influences the different devatas and people like that, demigods. And so then it has a certain influence. And so if we're following Vishvakarma, then it's going to inspire us to go to some higher level. And the whole program in the Vedas then is actually to come to the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, the Parampara, we can understand spiritual life, Brahman, not the body. It is a non-material world. But this takes a long time to go through all this. And there's so many. There's a bibliography I mentioned before that Indologists keep, called the Catalogus Catalogorum. And it's a bibliography of all known ancient Sanskrit texts on the planet. And this includes mathematics, architecture, medicine, mechanics, what else? Political sciences, music, dance. And so when it was last published, it was included over 160,000 ancient Sanskrit texts. So if we hadn't come in contact with Prabhupada, chances are we would have been trying to apply something here, something there. There's one group now which says sacrifices at precise times and eats the ashes or something, and somebody else takes some atomic theory from Canada and applies that to then atom bombs. So their comments, the sage's comment is very good. There are many varieties of scriptures, and in all of them there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instructions our hearts may be fully satisfied. Of course, the word division is Vibhagashaha, and we're familiar with that from the verse Chaturvanyam Mayashristan Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Divisions. The because it wasn't expected that the village girls, like the, like Radharani and Sudevi and Rangadevi, or even the Vaishyas, like Nanda Maharaj, would be very expert in these sacrifices and purifying the atmosphere and creating a nice situation. They were expected to work hard and generate some profit, and then to fund all these activities, to fund an ashram, to give people time to do the research, to practice the systems, to learn kirtan, to learn the Bhagavatam, you know, to be good at it, perform good kirtans, to do austerity so the kirtan is very penetrating and very gratifying to the heart. You know. So, Vibhagashaha, everybody has to learn it in their own division. And then they have to learn how their division fits into the other divisions. Like that. One devotee said he was a jeweler in London. He was giving donations to the temple. And he told Prabhupada, I gave like, you know, $5,000, $6,000, which now, of course, a lot of money. And Prabhupada said, well, are you watching to see that they're using it properly? And he said, well, no, Prabhupada, I trust them. And Prabhupada said, no, you make sure that money is being applied properly. The Vaishya, he gives the money to the Brahmins, but then in general he sees, was there a university resulting? Was there a book published? Was it a popular book? No, yeah. So the Vibhagashaha, the public purport, Atma, or self, is distinguished from matter and material elements. Yeah. Yeah. It is spiritual in constitution, and thus is never satisfied by any amount of material planning. Because he's asking superfluity. He's asking something that will satisfy him. Not satisfied by any amount of material planning. All scriptures and spiritual instructions are meant for the satisfaction of this self. Or Atma. There are many varieties of approaches which are recommended for different types of living beings in different times and different places. Consequently, the number of revealed scriptures are innumerable. There are different methods and prescribed duties recommended in these different scriptures. Of course, prominent now is the Bible, the Quran, and I guess the Bhagavad Gita. Okay? Then in China, actually, if you go to YouTube and look up Confucius, probably BBC, there's a nice, I think, six-part biography of Confucius that the BBC produced. And it is a fact, still. I think right to the time of Mao, it's never broken. Never broken that Confucius was the predominant philosopher in India. He was also, I think, by 550 BC. Same as somebody can do everything. He was more concerned with what we do than what we think. Yeah? But he just gave a very nice description. You know, the inferior man tries to control others. The superior man tries to control himself. Advice like that. Yeah? In very harsh times, you know, all the Kshatriyas were simply taxing the peasants horribly and forcing them to live horrible lives to support these unnecessary hierarchies of enjoyment for themselves. And going on, different groups fighting with ordinary people caught in the middle. So he was just coming, fascinated with the idea of producing peace and fairness, that people get a fair life and live properly. And he was also an extremely traditional person in terms of the previous scriptures, the previous information they had. Okay. Which, of course, is very much tied into India. Yeah. So Confucius, we don't know about it so much, but in the West, is very prominent in Asia. And then Prophet Muhammad, may his name be blessed. And our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Bhagavad Gita. And for us, Lord Chaitanya. But, of course, Bhagavad Gita is accepted by all the acharyas, including Shankaracharya. Yeah. Yeah. So, prescribed duties are recommended in different scriptures, different methods, and different prescribed duties recommended in these various scriptures, taking into consideration the fallen condition of the people in general in this age of Kali. sages of Naimishramani suggested that Sri Sudha Goswami relate the essence of all such scriptures, because in this age it is not possible for the fallen souls to understand and undergo all the lessons of all these revealed scriptures in Varnashram system. The Varnashram Society was considered to be the best institution for the beings to the spiritual platform. But due to Kali Yuga, it is not possible to execute the rules and regulations of these institutions, nor is it possible for the people in the general to completely sever relations with their family as the Varna Ashram institution prescribes. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with opposition. And considering this, one can see that spiritual emancipation for the common man in this age is very difficult. The reason the sages presented this matter to Sudha Goswami is explained in the following verses. So this is the first question. And we see the answer. The answer just totally echoes the question. What is the supersiddhity? What is the process by which people can achieve supersiddhity? What is the process by which the pumsam can achieve supersiddhity? And by giving you all those hints, I guess 90% of the audience has figured out what the answer is. So vahai pumsam, vahai pumsam, paro dharmo, what is the best dharma? This word supersiddhity is what's kind of like onomatopoetic. When you hear it, it just is such a nice, satisfying word. It's like we're thinking some devotees could open a whole business and manufacture a soft drink, some kind of lemon-lime type thing, carbonation. You have a commercial of a guy working out in this garden with his friends, family there, and it's hot, and the sun's shining, they're happy, and they're sweating, and the mosquitoes, and they come back in and take a bath, and they sit down in front of a nice, big, cold bottle of supersiddhity. Complete satisfaction. Like that, yeah. But that's a fact. I mean, how many of us? I mean, maybe we are. We're satisfied taking prasadam rather than trying to eat all this weird stuff. You know, we're satisfied that we can live a life free from all these gross intoxications and all the sexual agitation that's being dumped on us in all the media, like that. So we do feel some satisfaction, a higher taste. You know? Mostly renunciation. A higher taste is not getting something higher, but it's being free from the lower taste. But still, you know, we're not completely satisfied, so therefore we go looking. You know, we look for it in terms of, you know, clothes, what else? Food, sports, mental speculation, like that. On my really bad days, you know, I'll fall into a Sherlock Holmes movie from 1952 or something like that. I found those. The four principles are followed in there. It's nice seeing the heritage in England and everything else like that, and how things developed and what our consciousness was. It's really interesting seeing the contrast. It takes you out of the modern world into a world that's not so far away, and you can really see how things have changed. You know, the perspectives and the values and the innocence. The biggest things you see is people have lost their innocence, like that, their sweetness, like that. They've become very, very, what's the word? Very clever, but not wise in the modern world. Lost a lot of wisdom. So we find these, but then, you know, we keep on following the process, we're taking our basic medicine, and we're trying to apply it intelligently. And we're trying to deal with these things that we know are anarthas, like that, you know? Eating too much, sleeping too much, gossiping. And we find one more way to catch our mind and then force it to read a little bit more. Okay, make this thing. Every day before lunch, you've got to read, you know, one page of the Dashamrita. Pull it out of your purse or briefcase or pocket and read one page of the Dashamrita. Okay. And so, okay, you can force yourself to do that before lunch. And then after, you know, after 1 month, that's 30 days. And I guess she finished the book in about, you know, maybe 3 months, just by reading a page a day. And actually, then you got something. Wow. Eternal. So you're motivated then. In the beginning, it's relief from distress, increase in harmony. But then there actually starts to become, you know, some taste in this process. Because the fire engines are going by. The fire truck, okay? So right on kind of a, right on medical center drive, you know, in our little office for our engineers through the academy. So you come to that point of actually getting some kind of real taste in devotional service, and that pushes us on. And then we start to get a real logic of understanding the whole process, how it applies to us. This is important because, the answer doesn't say that one should engage in devotional service. It says that the Supreme Dharma is that which will take us to devotional service. So we're not trying to be engaged directly in devotional service. That's way beyond us. At least for the sages, it's way beyond the sages and it's way beyond the Pumsum. But what we need is a progressive process, right? We make to take this vow, I'll only eat prasadam, but I want good prasadam, okay? Or else this and that, yeah? So that's what we're trying to find, I would say, for ourselves, and everybody's on a different level. And so there are going to be varieties, you know? Varieties of processes for different people and different levels. You're in the audience, right? Different devotees are on different levels, and so what they have to develop, we have to develop, and they learn more and more how to do it better. Our particular dharma, what is my dharma at this point? And the essence, of course, you know, Lord Chaitanya, of course, what is it? Dharma into saksa bhagavat pranitam. Yeah, Bhagavan gives it. And the next verse, of course, is going to be Bhagavan. You know why Bhagavan, Bhagavan Satvapattari, the leader, the great, the foremost person of all the devotees. Why did he appear? This verse, the answer will be that we're trying to get that process which will take us to uninterrupted, unselfish service to Adhoksaja. It doesn't say Krishna. He's just beyond the senses. So right now we're just trying to understand that this, we came out of the darkness. The light is so bright. We can see movements and we can see some forms. But we can't see any of the details. But there is, you know, some service to somebody there like that. Yeah. And then the next verse asks the question of who is that Bhagavan? Why did that Bhagavan appear? Yeah. So very, very systematic, you know, questions like that. And getting right down to the whole thing, and from the very beginning, the first verse, the first word in published Bhagavatam, in the preface, the very first word is we must know the current need of human society. So from the very beginning, the attitude is we are Sankirtan partners. We are going to try and help in a human society, and probably expand it to include all animals and everything else in the preface. But that's the beginning. That's it. You know? I noticed one time I was trying to sell some books in a program. We had a nice program in Mexico, maybe 2 nights. And it was on science one night and different books we had available. And I noticed trying to get people to take a book was difficult. Because the idea is you take the book and it's a Gyan process. I take the book, I read it, I study, I get wisdom, and I'm better. But this is not the age of Gyan. This is the age of Sankirtan. So I discovered it was much easier to get people to take 2 or 3 books for their friends than it was to take it one for themselves. But that's Sankirtan. And right away people think, my friends, they would like this. Yeah, okay, I'll take some. Yeah. So yeah, this is the process that we're here. If we go into it for ourselves to try and understand it logically, we're not going to get the superstition so much. To go into it is trying to become part of a nice community, a bunch of cool dudes, yeah. And for getting something to give to somebody else, and maybe qualify to take it, then we'll be on the progressive path, you know, to coming to this point of getting the supercity. And the supercity, of course, what? Happiness, satisfaction. So we're satisfied, completely satisfied. But then after that, we can become more completely satisfied. And then finally, we can become most completely satisfied. So Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And then in Bhagavan, we can go from Mahavishnu to Vaikunthanath, to Ram, to Dwarka, to Mathura, to Vrindavan. And then once we're in Vrindavan, of course, there's also different relationships with Krishna. And of course, the Lord Chaitanya is revealing, you know, the attitude of the damsels of Rajagopal, that their process is the most intense. So it's kind of what I was getting out of this verse. It's a very nice question, you know, and it's very, very intelligent. You know, and this time, they're pointing out. You know, so I'll say, wait, one last thing there. If Prabhupada had given us so many books too, even if you just say the same thing, my goodness, Prabhupada gave us so many books. I even heard Prabhupada saying, he said, even in 100 years, you cannot study all these books thoroughly. I was trying to do it, you know, and all the conversation books and everything else. But then I was actually heard Prabhupada say that. I became so relieved. Oh, my God. So do a survey, you know, take a Bhakti Shastri course, take a Bhakti Bhai Bhava in a program and go through the Bhagavatam. Even as we're doing this, we're taking 1 week for each chapter, which is, you know, it's a nice pace if you're going to do it. In association, studying, comparing notes. But still, we have to always remind ourselves that we're kind of like taking a sample. And then as we go through this, then certain things will be proper for us. I would say that Hanuman, after he gave the ring to Sita, he burned down Lanka, and he was afraid he burned her down too. What an anxiety. You know? I mean, oh my God, did I burn Sita up too? But she was okay. Then as I remember, he stayed for a little bit because she was just feeling so lonely. She said, just stay for a little bit more before you go back and just talk a little bit more about Ram. So Hanuman, I would say, never goes beyond the first lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus feet of Ram. So in that sense, we could say that, you know, they were discussing the first two cantos of the Bhagavatam, which is the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay, for some devotees, that may be perfect. You know, that may be exactly what that particular relationship is, consciousness, and great. You know, somebody else may need to go through very advanced books, Sanskrit, everything else. You know? But so finding our place and relationship to Prabhupada's scriptures, books, it is very individualized. And I think it's also progressive, that you know, certain things you should be reading now and studying and considering and chanting and appreciating. But as we go on, then different things will naturally, you know, they'll come. Kesham evam kamparta mahama jnana jam tamaha nasyami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bhasvata. The Krishna will enlighten us, which books to read, which things to study. And of course, the books and the literature mean a certain community, a certain group of devotees. It will be, that's the word, collected around certain literature like that. Yeah. So that's all I can think of. Anybody have any comments then, like that, questions?
Maharaj, can you just give me a second? I know you can't see this, but we have 23 devotees on right now. So let me just unmute everybody on start meeting, which I just did. I'm sorry for those of you that were in start meeting. It probably was a little bit muffled because it came from Skype. But now, if anybody would like to ask a question or a comment to Maharaj, please go ahead. Well, we have 2 dozen devotees. Anyone would like to add anything?
Yeah, hi, Krishna Maharaj. In the purport, so Prabhupada says that all scriptures and spiritual functions are meant for the satisfaction of the self or Atma. And I'm just curious about that statement because.
Muted.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says that the Vedas mostly deal with the modes of material nature. So how do we understand these two different.
Unmuted.
Well, the thing is that they're meant for that purpose, but some of them are so indirect. because people are way out there, you know. So what we're talking about is most likely probably, you know, what Veda Vyas produced. And so Veda Vyas, everything, the different Tamasic Puranas, everything else, they're for the purpose. Those are okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 17th chapter, Reward and Punishment of Kali, verse number 38, because you get the 38th pistol in the end of it. That's the one where it talks about the four principles. And there, you know, Prabhupada says that sometimes in scriptures it says that one can drink wine and have and fornicate with his wife. Certain regulated things, yeah. And he says, of course, this is adharma. But he says because it's prescribed in the Vedas and for a certain class of people, therefore nobody should call it adharma. Okay. Yeah. That's what I understand. Is that they mostly deal with the modes of nature because most people are in the modes of nature. Kind of manipulate them. But they do it in such a way that if you're successful enough to live for 25,000 years, you'll be able to achieve the result. Okay. 5,000 years. If you want a shortcut, a Prabhupada's mercy. 16 rounds a day, four principles, and at the end of this miserable life, I will personally come and take you back home. Back to Godhead.
Also, I like your analogy about the cold drink supersivity. I thought that was very cute.
I was talking to Prabhupada, and he was asking about how to get everybody engaged properly in Los Angeles or something, what the brahmacharis would do, what the sannyasis would do. And Prabhupada said, the grihasthas, they can sell something, you know. And then Pramal Krishna Maharaj said, oh, Prabhupada, they should sell your books, you know. And Prabhupada said, well, they can sell something else if they want to. And Tamal Krishnamurti said, but Prabhupada, you said that your books are the best thing to sell. And Prabhupada laughed and said, that is my opinion. He said, they may have some other opinion. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, you got to sell something. Yeah, why not? Super safety.
A comment with regard to that which is satisfying to the self. In the highest sense, which I assume this is ultimately directed, is that what really satisfies the self is devotional service to Krishna. It's not just like all the residents of the spiritual world, their only thought, their only satisfaction is serving the lotus feet of Krishna. They have no self-thought of anything for them independent of Krishna. It's all devotional service is what completely satisfies the self. So in that sense, it may be saying, you know, that which satisfies the self, it's really pointing towards pure, unadulterated devotional service. The more pure the service, the sweeter, the more satisfied we feel because of Krishna's satisfaction.
Yeah, and I think from the very beginning, Prabhupada gives us that hint, that perspective. But if you go through like the answers in the second chapter, you see it uses words like, what's the word, Vasudeva, Avoksaja. It uses all these like, you know, general terms like Mr. President, the head cook, you know, like that. It doesn't really talk about Krishna really so much. It's like coming out of an Upanishad. And then finally, that's the whole thing. You go through different incarnations. Vishnu doesn't reciprocate. You cannot serve Vishnu as a friend. You can't become Vishnu's friend and give him that kind of service. But then with Ram, he accepts servitorship with some friendship. You know? So that's like Hanuman, and Hanuman feels satisfied. Oh. He just wants to be servant, but he has that feeling of being able to talk to Ram like a friend too, you know. So then finally we come to Vrindavan. And then after the 10th canto, my goodness, yeah. But then after that we come to, what's it called? What's it called? Panch Adhyay Raslila, which I think is what, 29 to 34. And then that's Krishna's smile. So her problem is that the whole process is just cooking puris, and baby Krishna, little Krishna, is watching us cook. And when they puff up in the view, he's so enchanted, so delighted to see them puffing up. He claps his hands and smiles and jumps up and down. You know? And that's the whole thing. It's the little baby Krishna. You know, the smile. You know? Yeah.
Also, Maharaj, in the purport, in the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada's talking about Varnashram Society, he says, considered to be the best institution for lifting the human being to the spiritual platform. But due to Kali Yuga, it is not possible to execute rules and regulations, nor is it possible for people in general to completely sever relations with their families as the Varnashram Institution prescribes. So I'm just wondering, from reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it seems that it's pretty hard for people to sever relations with their families in any age, isn't it?
Yeah, I think in the age of Kali it's very simple. That's right. Happens all the time. I think that's because everybody has a family. You know, I remember, maybe you remember too, when I was a child, like you got television from the time you were like about, I don't know, maybe like, you know, 7 years old, 6 years old. And every night, it was the whole program, watch television. You know? So when it was broken down for a couple of days, my God, it was like we had to look at each other and, you know, talk, and it was like incredible. Yeah. So you know, if you actually have a family and belong to a family where everybody knows each other and has, you know, fun relationships and helps each other in different ways, it's just so entangling, so attaching. So the age of Kali, horse sacrifices, getting a child, and see brother's sister who dies. None of these things are allowed. But we're just reading the story about Kardamuni Sannyas, and Prabhupada's saying that he quotes that. He said, but then he says, but of course, if somebody can follow the rules and regulations, then of course he must take sannyas. So probably saying that some people will be able to keep some kind of standard. I mean, they must do it. He didn't say should. He said they must do it. Of course, he said they must do it. Then, and then by, you know, the process, shinvatam swakata krishna punya swabha kirtanaha. So we become punyatma. We become very pious people, you know, just by following this process of hearing and chanting. So maybe we have these tendencies and stuff like that, but we can just put them all in the proper place by having a good solid program of Krishna katha. You know, movies, dramas, plays, working on projects together. So we're always talking about Krishna, organizing festivals, organizing the production of the society for the deities. Yeah? So at that point, we can start to manage our ashram system. I would say that you see that when Prabhupada came to New York, first off, he had kirtan prasadam, kirtan prasadam, kirtan prasadam. And then, before initiations, he established the basic level of varnashram, which is marriage. He said, in our society, boys and girls live together, they have to be married, you know. And then after that was established, then he went to the next one, which was the first initiations. Okay. Then later he also established them, you know, the different varnas and so on. Up to sannyas, you know, so on. Yeah. So on the basis of kirtan and everything else, then it's possible. And it becomes very nice, you know, it becomes very useful for everybody to find their position like that. Otherwise, boy, it's so crazy, everybody in improper positions, suffering, unhappy. You know, this is Vaishya girls married to Kshatriya boys. he wants to engage in politics, intrigue, and everything else. And she just wants to see a good prophet and not have so much personal relations, you know. So everybody's coming to her about all these politics and driving her nuts, you know. Yeah. And that's from Quentin. This is an example of one particular devotee. You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and Kali Yuga, because of the Harinam Yajna, then I think it's possible to do these things. And then they become useful to to help the Harinam Yajna expand.
Also, Maharaj, you just touched on another question here that comes to my mind. The tendency for someone to be Kshatriya, someone else to be Vaishya, does that tendency minimize more and more as Kali Yuga advances? Because we hear at Kali Yuga, everyone is born Shudra, and that's it. So then, does that tendency to act as a Kshatriya minimize as Kali Yuga becomes more and more degraded, or what happens then?
Well, the tendencies are there at the very end. As the Prabhupada talks about, administrators becoming plunderers and everything else. So still there's somebody even dogs, right, and animals, have some kind of natural divisions of leaders, followers, male and female tendencies. So I would say you're right. If it goes ahead in Kali Yuga, it gets more and more diminished. Everybody can come down to the level of the animals, which are really just concerned with independent eating and sleeping, or eating and sleeping for their biological clan, like that. Yeah.
With that being said, then I'm just curious why, for example, Srila Prabhupada considered establishing Varnashram would be 50% of his mission.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe in the same way. Somebody asked Prabhupada, he said, but Prabhupada in the West, everybody is like Shudra, right? Or less. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, but there are tendencies like that, And so some people are Shudra Brahman, some people are Kshatriya, Shudras. It's naturally, it's everywhere, it follows like that. Even if you're all Shudras, well, you get a sergeant, And the sergeants are, a little bit more organized Shudra, because then the Sankirtan movement, I was thinking, why do you want to, develop Sankirtan, develop the Varnashram? I think I came up with three reasons. And I heard Govinda Maharaj did the same, Govinda Maharaj did the same reasons in one class. I wondered, wow, did he take that from scripture or something? First place is because we're not pure devotees, and of course, Papa was saying that. So the Varnashram system, as much as we can establish it, gives us a peaceful circumstance where we can accelerate the development of bhakti. It's like having a seed, you need good water, good sunlight, good fence, and good weeding, and then it can grow very quickly. And when it's big, it's a tree, it's so high that the animals can't harass it anymore. And its roots go down and gets water by itself. So the Varnashram system, as much as we can establish it, is useful, to help us develop our spiritual qualities. The second thing is that it's the best way to organize the Sankirtan party. If people become accustomed to understanding what is their psychophysical nature, then they fit right into a really effective Sankirtan party. And some people are just can't communicate so much verbally, but they're really good artists, And somebody else is, doesn't have to do stuff himself, but really likes to see other people working and happy and engaged, Kshatriya. And finally, it's just the best example, for other people. They look at the Hare Krishnas and us and how we do things and our comportment. So many times when devotees are becoming devotees, their parents are upset, he's becoming a Hare Krishna, this and that, in Mexico or a place. There's so many people that parents are disturbed for taking non-Catholic religion. But my experience is, and I give advice, that just go on, keep on communicating with your parents, try and tell them what you're doing, and there's some you can introduce them to India, so they know it's not a crazy place. There's one detective novel, H.R.F. Keating. And he has this Inspector Goat. He's got kind of modern thing, a few books. But I like to know crime novel things. And so, but it really gives you a very modern, interest into what's happening in India, people's lives, and it really shows you it's a nice place. They aren't crazy people. I thought Indians were crazy. No, they're okay. So like that, people introduce And then they begin to see, and I had so many times parents come to me and they say, I was worried, but I want to tell you that now my son is associating with these people who are taking drugs. He's got his life planned out in his career. I met the girl he took for a partner, and he couldn't have got a nicer girl. You know? And I'm beginning to understand the culture and philosophy a little bit, and it's actually very similar to my Jewish tradition. So that's what happens. You know, the Hare Krishna has become, you know, a good example. The people, just an example, people say, oh, hey, you know. So I still think it's very important. You know, without Varnashram, then most people can't become devotees. You know? And most people won't in this lifetime. But they'll get a taste because their senses are controlled and they can hear the kirtan properly. And until next lifetime, it will manifest.
Thank you very, very much, Maharaj. I enjoyed this one to everything.
Okay. We'll see you in Boise soon.
Maharaj.
Yeah.
Because I'm out of the dust here.
Hi.
I just wanted to mention a few things because I was looking.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, verse and purport. This verse mentions that there are many varieties of scriptures and many prescribed duties for the varnas. And we know that the Vedas, up to this point, up to Srimad Bhagavatam, are a maze of karmakanda and regulated activities in the lower modes, such as regulating meat eating and other such things. And also, people up to this point have been encouraged to act piously to go to heaven. So then Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that all of the rules and regulations connected with the Varnashram Dharma system are hard to follow strictly in this age. And for one thing, that reminds me of what he said in the previous purport, that the educational system is just unfortunate. And it's certainly not set up for Varnashram Dharma worldwide. So, you know, this is what we're up against. And also, Prabhupada specifically mentions the idea of how hard it is to give up family life. And this is especially true in India. Family members are not inclined to give their sons as brahmacharis to the guru. And it's... And the sons are also made to feel obligated to the parents because they educate them to be sometimes engineers or doctors with the idea that the sons will take care of them later. So Srila Prabhupada presents in the following verses is the answer to all this, and that is hearing from self-realized souls and taking shelter of Krishna, chanting his names, and this is also especially done as a group or a community. So I just thought I'd mention those things.
It's so nice, incredible. Yeah, thank you very much. Especially this whole school system. I mean, now the rating is, which is the number one party school, right? The hearing and chanting community is Hustler Magazine. I don't know if it's still in existence or not, but that was the thing they would do. They would rate like this school was the number one party school. Yeah. Oh. People, my God. And then they have it's unbelievable. It's so difficult to raise money, you know, for any educational aspect of the university. But if the football team is even a halfway good football team, how long does it take to raise, you know, to $10 million for a new stadium? 5 weeks. It's just incredible how much money, you know, you go to school because of the sports, right? Somebody, devotees on, were on scholarships, you know. Scholarships, I know, because of the sports, there's the big money. And as you notice, it probably says the whole atmosphere is surcharged, every level. You know? Wow. So only by the mercy of the Panchatattva. Panchatattva, and chant those names, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhupada Nityananda, and then Hare Krishna. And we can get some strength. Yeah. But I guess we should go now, after we got on here. I'm trying to work on the study guides for our Bhakti Bhai Bhava program today. And we have Bhakti Yatra here on Sunday. The mayor's office from Nashville wrote to us and said, this is the best thing in the whole parade. Please, we appreciate it very much. Anything we can do to help you. The cart's going to come from Florida, the devotees. Yeah. And there's a lot of work for the devotees here. And then after that, we're off to South America on Sunday. So I don't know how our communication is going to be down there. We'll see. But of course, I'd like very much to participate in this program. It's so nice. You know. So thank you very much. Thank you for